All right. Hello, everybody. My name is Jesse Brizendine, and welcome back to another edition of A Handful of Hope. Today, I am so grateful to have Alicia with us. And Alicia is a United States Supreme Court attorney. She's also a member of the California State Bar. After a personal health crisis, she found her life's mission helping high-achieving professionals bring balance into their lives, avoid burnout, and develop resiliency. She also works with organizations on leadership, diversity, and inclusion within the workplace. She's a senior associate with the De Leon Law Group in Raleigh, North Carolina, specializing in business, corporate, and family law. She's a recent transplant to the Raleigh, North Carolina area and considers her most sacred job to be a mom to her 13-year-old daughter and 8-year-old son. Alicia, welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Jesse.
It's awesome to have you here, and I think one of the things that so many people have wondered about is there's so much uncertainty in the air right now, right? And you and I were talking online how the legal landscape is changing. Literally, it seems by minute, hour by hour. Yeah. And people are probably trying to figure out what's going on. They've heard this law come through. They've heard that law come through. They're hearing this person say this, this person say that. You know, as a legal expert, you know, maybe you could shine some light on some of the things that are happening. And understanding that we're on, what is it, Sunday, March 22nd, 9:20 a.m. California time, 12:20 p.m. East Coast time, and that these things can change very quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. And definitely we want to make sure that everybody's aware that anything that we're telling you, and based on when this comes out, we want to make sure that we're checking this. But as of March 22nd at 12:20 Eastern Standard Time, this is the information that we have. So, one of the things that has been coming through, so I work with a lot of businesses and corporations, and, you know, there's so much fear right now. Obviously, we're going to talk about that as it impacts our emotional state, but there's a lot of fear and unknown on how is this going to impact employers and employees. And so one of the things that just came out is the Families First Coronavirus Relief Act, and it was passed on March 18th, 2020. What that is, and where you're going to want to get this information, you don't want to look. I think a lot of times, what happens is, there's a oversaturation of news at this time that leads to a lot of fear. And, I personally do not watch the news. I just don't watch it. I don't like to watch something that gives me the problem and the pill in the same reel. So I am very selective and intentional with how I get my information. So I go to the source, which means I'm going to go to the Congress website, United States Congress website. I am going to go to the federal websites. So I'll give you that information at the end. But the Families First Coronavirus Relief Act was passed on March 18th, 2020. So what this does, if you're an employee with fewer than 500 employees, you are likely going to be required to provide paid leave to employees who are unable to work because of certain circumstances relating to the coronavirus pandemic. So it's going to basically, it's going to be in effect as of March 15th, and you're going to see that it needs to be implemented later than April 2nd, 2020, and it's going to expire on December 31st, 2020. So please note, before I get into any of that, in congruence and in conjunction with all of these requirements for employers, there was simultaneously a tax relief act passed that will help mitigate the cost to employers. But there's an affirmative duty that employers give their employees certain allowances and paid leave. So I want to, before I get into all the requirements for employers, also put in the back of your mind before you start to think of all the costs that Congress has also put into place relief and tax credits, and they will be giving you ability to help support you for all the costs, to defray the costs for these affirmative duties that you have to your employers, employees. So here, there is a 10-day emergency sick leave for the Family Leave Act. And here are the factors. So if your employee is subject to a federal, state, or local quarantine or an isolation order related to COVID-19, so the coronavirus. Number one, if you have an employee, so I'm gonna go over that again. If you have an employee that's subject to a federal, state, or local quarantine or isolation order related to corona, then you your employee is going to be fall under an employee that's impacted by this Leave Act. Number two, if you have an employee that's been advised by a healthcare provider to self-quarantine due to concerns related to corona. So for example, I actually have been home for 2 weeks because I had the flu, and we didn't know if it was corona or the flu. And my health care provider said, you got to just stay home. So if you've got employees that are, that you've got the healthcare providers that are just saying, look, we don't know, we're not going to test because they don't meet all of the parameters, but we don't know for sure, they're going to fall under this kind of umbrella of employees that are going to qualify for the Leave Act, paid leave. Number three, you've got an employee that is experiencing any of the symptoms of Corona Act and seeking a medical diagnosis, they're going to be covered under this act for paid leave. Number four, you've got an employee that's caring for an individual who is either subject to the local quarantine for federal, state, or local quarantine or isolation related to corona, or they are caring for an individual that's been advised by a healthcare provider to self-quarantine due to concerns for corona. So in that case, say I had a spouse who was caring for me, that spouse would have been covered to be have paid leave during that time that he or she was caring for me, right?
Yep.
So the second one would be an employee is caring for a son or daughter. This is my son. You've got an employee who is caring for a son or a daughter of such an employee if the school or place of care of the son or daughter has been closed, or a child care provider of such son or daughter is unavailable due to the corona precautions. So basically, because all schools and child care opportunities are closed down, I know in California, I know in North Carolina where I live, all schools, all nurseries, all preschools, they're closed down. So basically any employee is going to fall under this fifth qualifier if you are caring for school level children, because their children are not in school and they don't have any other alternatives. So that's a big one. The last one is if the employee is experiencing any other substantially similar condition specified by the Secretary of Health and Human Services in consultation with the Secretary of the Treasury and the Secretary of Labor. So basically, they have a list of symptoms they have a list of symptoms on those websites, and if you go there and you have any conditions that are similar or substantially similar, then you would be covered as well as a covered employee for leave. So that pretty much, I mean, if you're going to have employees that are going to be covered under that. I mean, and the employers that we're talking about are private employers, like I said, with fewer than 500 employees, and most public employers. So what does that mean for the employees? The full allotment of paid sick time provided by the act must be available for immediate use by an employee. So basically, you can't say, you're gone for those 10 days and I'll pay you when you get back. Mm. That has to be available to them immediately.
That's great.
Yeah, it is great. Regardless of how long the employee has been employed by the employer. Now, that's another big thing that this act got rid of. So essentially, there is no, you have to have been, you don't, 90 days probationary period. It gets rid of all that. If you have worked there for 2 days before this went into effect, you are eligible for this remedy.
Oh, that's great. So even people, if they just literally started their job.
Literally. Two days in, one day in, got hired the day this went into effect, they're eligible for it.
Yeah. I appreciate so much you taking the time to go through that, because I feel like so much of the stress going out in the world right now, so many people so fearful, understandably so, of what's it going to mean at their job? How are they going to have income? People who just started a job that rely on that, that were budgeting for that coming in.
Yeah.
This has to be a huge, just moment. Hopefully will help people breathe a collective sigh of relief that there is resources, there is aid out there. It is going to be available immediately, or maybe it's available right now.
Yeah.
And is there anything that people need to do to start receiving that aid, or does it fall on the responsibility of the employer to get it to them? How does that whole process work?
You know, I think like anything during this time right now, it's going to be a collaborative effort. And I think one of the things we all have a responsibility to do is be proactive, and also remind ourselves that this is all uncharted territory. Nobody knows, nobody's ever been here before. Yeah. So like in any crisis, remember that we're not just coming at it from our perspective and our needs. And it's easy because we're in a time of high stress and we can, it's easy to just go, I need this, I need this. Also remembering that the employer has never been here either. So I also am coming from a perspective, I represent a lot of employers who are very stressed because they're going, I have no idea how I'm going to pay the bills. Mm. And I have to, I don't know where my bills are going to get paid. And I somehow have to pay employees who aren't at work. So we're all in this together. So I say that only because I just always want everybody to remember that, we just always want to be mindful of everybody's perspective in this. And so it's a collaborative effort. So it is the employer's affirmative duty to pay the employee. And so that means respectful communication. Hey, Joe, I've been made aware of the Families Leave Act, the Coronavirus Act that has just been released as of March 18th, 2020. What is the business's plan for releasing these funds to employees? And I am one of those protected employees. What is the business's plan for releasing these funds?
Mm.
Right? So yeah. It's not, hey, I deserve this, give it to me.
Yeah, yeah.
That is never going to make anybody motivated to act. And it's also just adds to the stress and anxiety.
Yes.
That's just a little nudge to just add more love and understanding in this process, because the other person's also coming from stress and anxiety, but it is their affirmative duty to provide that to their employees.
I'm so grateful you clarified that, because I can tell you a lot of my clients who I've been working with who run larger businesses or smaller businesses, their biggest stress they're under is obviously they're thinking bills, keeping the lights on, all that thing. But even more than that, they're not so worried about themselves as they're worried about all their team, their employees, yeah, people. And I can tell you that the thing that's keeping them up at night more than anything is not their well-being, but it's the well-being of the people they employ. And I think that what you just said too, and everybody take note of this, it's so important, respectful communication.
Yeah.
You know, it is so unbelievably powerful in doing that, not even just with work, but just with each other right now, because I think one thing that we can all do to come together is learn how to be more respectful to each other. I think Twitter can be a great resource, but it's also, sometimes I feel like I have to take a shower when I get out of there because people are so quick to say, F you, you know, give me this, or I should have this, or I should have that. And everybody's in the same boat. Everybody is doing the best they can with what they have, given the circumstances. Like you perfectly said, nobody's been here before. Yeah. Nobody's been through this. And if we can just give people some grace and realize that even hoarders are human beings, even hoarders are people who are terrified, scared, and trying to figure out, are there some outliers? Yeah, there are some people who, you know, small percentage who are trying to take advantage of certain circumstances, you know, hoarding all the disinfectant to try to sell it. But those are the outliers, far from away the majority. And if we could all just take that collective breath, and when we're communicating and trying to get these resources that are being allocated to us, it's going to help everybody facilitate it much faster, because you and I work with a lot of people in leadership, Alicia. And so we know this to be true, that the leader is still the human being on the other end.
Yeah.
And what's going to make their job that much harder in getting it to their people is if they feel that added stress and anxiety of someone coming at them because they're angry, they're pissed off, they're all these things. Everybody already knows that everybody's feeling that. But we don't, let's just try not to project it onto someone else who really is probably on the other end trying to help you get the outcome you're after.
Yeah, exactly. It's so easy. It always reminds me I heard it from Tony Robbins, but he heard it from his mentor, and I'm sure, you know, came from somewhere else. But there was a man who was on the subway, and he was watching this other man there with like four of his kids running around. Yeah. He was out of control. The kids were out of control. And this man was like, oh, I was so grumpy because it was the end of the day. And I was just so irritated. This man was letting his children run around like crazy, and he wasn't keeping those kids under wrap. And so he said something to this dad, like, hey, you know, can you get your kids under control? And the dad said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't even notice. We just left their mom's funeral. It was like this instant, oh my gosh, like we have no idea what other people are going through. And it's I think we have an affirmative duty to constantly be conscious of that exact concept, is that just as much as we're like, don't they understand that I need quiet? It's like, we have no idea what other people are going through. And it doesn't just stop because we're in the middle of a pandemic or a crisis. You know, I had the opportunity to go through the mudslide 2 years ago in Santa Barbara. And so I have that perspective now that, you know, being in this crisis right now and knowing that, you know, it just, it allows you to elevate and look at it from kind of like a helicopter perspective, instead of it looking at it like, you know, just right here. And knowing that there is a lot of beautiful things that we will be able to look at after this all goes through. We'll be able to see people coming together and helping yes. each other. And we've already seen that so much as in Italy, and I'm seeing that in my neighborhood. You know, is it scary? Yes, but it also reminds us of humanity. It reminds us of the illusion of separation. You know, one of the beautiful things that happened, you know, I'm going to caveat this, obviously 9/11 was a tragedy, mudslide was a tragedy, this is a tragedy in the deaths, but the beautiful thing that happens when we do go through crisis, it reminds us of humanity, and it reminds us of connection, and it reminds us of the power of love, yeah. and it reminds us of how strong we are, right? And so it also reminds us that all it really takes is to be human in these situations. To, you know, that's all, sometimes that's all really people need.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about how to be a leader in situations like this. And it doesn't always need to be this huge showing. Sometimes it's just showing up as a good human in, yeah. in interactions.
That's such a powerful place. statement. I think that I went for a walk yesterday afternoon through my neighborhood, and you know, same walk around the same time of day I've done dozens and dozens of times. Social distancing, of course, is different. Yeah. Everybody's keeping space. But I have to tell you, I saw more people than I've ever seen, because people were either outside sitting on their lawn, or maybe if they had a balcony, they're on the balcony. And people were out walking because they, my imagination, the story I was telling myself was, is that people, since they had to be at home, they were actually taking the time to really get outside and appreciate fresh air, community. And there were more people that waved and smiled than ever before. I said hello and hi to more people than I've said combined in probably the last 6 months. And it was such a beautiful thing to see, because it was, you know, all of us are going through this experience together. Everybody's trying to do the best they can with what they have. Everybody there is experiencing their own version of fear, anxiety, stress, worry. Everyone there knows someone who has passed away, not even necessarily from Corona, but they've had, I know friends who have lost loved ones to cancer, to a heart attack, to, you know, a DUI in the last couple of weeks. And they're struggling because they feel like their deaths that they're going through are less significant because they're not plastered over headlines right now. They're not showing up in the news. I know people who are worried because their 401ks have been wiped out, or all these types of things. And so everyone as a collective, we're all going through this, right? But in those little moments of walking by each other and looking at another person in an eye from 6 feet apart, waving, smiling, saying hello, it was these moments of humanity that really were, it was so beautiful. And it was exactly what I think each party needed in the moment. And it reminds you that one of the things that makes human beings so extraordinary, right, and why we've arisen to the social standing on the planet that we have, is not because we isolate and we go apart and we're good at having wars. You know, that's probably the worst of us. It's because what we do when we come together, it's the best of us. It's developing technology like this where we can talk. It's having collaborative conversations like this where, you know, people from different expertises can come together and funnel information and make it available to everybody. It's when we come up with ideas that we're going to, you know, launch spaceships to Mars, or in real time solving problems in a epidemic or pandemic, whatever the language is, that we've never seen before in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. And it really is, if we can all, I think it's such a beautiful message, is communicating with respect and then remembering the humanity mm-hmm. of the person, even the, you know, even the people who we may not agree with and may not be the biggest fans of right now, they still bleed red just the same as you and I do. And if we can give them grace, I think what it does is it gives us grace, and it releases that emotional burden that we're carrying when we attribute that anger, hatred, frustration, fear, all those types of things to these other people or these other things.
Yeah, I think that is really a powerful thing to remember. You know, I also had the opportunity to go through uterine cancer, and I know to be true that a huge part of that for me was a spiritual journey, and it was, you know, holding on to so much emotion trapped inside, you know, trauma, but then also as a prosecutor, just holding on to all of that other people's mm-hmm. trauma and energy. And I had a lot of anger, you know, in my own life, but a lot of anger from what I had witnessed, you know, other people going through, from, you know, just all the cases I'd heard. And, you know, I'd worked in politics and just all that anger, and I had let it just store in my body and had moved it out. And one of the things I've learned from that experience in the last 5 years of healing is, and I think this is a powerful point you bring up, is that we need to be mindful of this as we're going through this experience as a collective right now, is that we, even though we are in our houses and we're, you know, we're feeling very stuck and stagnant, we are all storing emotions right now, collective emotions, our own emotions, everything that's happening, we have to make sure that we move these emotions out of our body. And that means also, if we're having those judgments of those other people, I don't like to invalidate it, because those are, they're there. Yeah. They happen. You can't go, I'm not going to feel those ways about those people. Absolutely. You're going to acknowledge them, hopefully reframe it, but you have to move these emotions through your body, because they will store in your body and become dis-ease. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to see an epidemic of dis-ease as a result of this pandemic, because truthfully, in my opinion, the pandemic is fear right now on our planet. That is the true pandemic that we're experiencing, not downplaying the virus. It is true, but I think the greater pandemic that we are seeing is fear and apathy, equal parts, which is interesting, because we're seeing so many people fearful, but then we're also seeing so many people apathetic. So the spread is a spread of fear, but then we're also seeing so much apathy, which is also allowed for the spread. And I think that that's also what's just in general in our culture, we have a lot of fear and apathy, because there's not enough movement when things need to be risen up and addressed. There's so much apathy when injustice is happening, right?
Yeah, so true.
So, yeah, it's just a reminder that we can't store these emotions somewhere and not let them move.
Yeah, we have to. I did an interview earlier, and one of the previous interviews with on this series is with somebody who's put together at home workouts for people. And I encourage all of you that when you're feeling emotion build up, you rewatch some of these different episodes, and there's lots of tools for working through processing, because Alicia's absolutely right. Like, you know, what we hold on to, we become. I use the analogy sometimes of those old trash compactors you used to see in the homes, where, you know, you can fill it up and you can shove stuff down in there. You can press it down in there. But what ends up happening is, as you keep stacking on new trash, the trash at the bottom starts to rot. It starts to, you know, maggots form and all these types of things. And it's kind of the same experience with us. The more we depress emotions, right, the more we just keep shoving and shoving stuff down and not dealing with it, not expressing it, getting out of it, the more that stuff starts to rotten and create toxicity within it, you know, dis-ease, as you said earlier on. And it's so important during this time that we give ourselves permission to release that. We don't have to hold it on. It's important to acknowledge your feelings. It's not saying one feeling is right or wrong at all. That's not it. What you feel is what you feel.
Yep.
It's to say that, recognize that what you feel is what you feel, and find healthy ways to express it and release it, right? Find healthy resources to process it out and not hold on to it.
You know, one thing, I know that being stuck in the house, you know, I am a full-time single mom with a 13 and 8-year-old. And I know that there's a lot of parents listening to this, and there's a lot of people now closer than ever with their partners being forced. So that's a different dynamic, you know? And I have been trying to listen to, you know, practice what I preach, but it's very difficult, because I have had the insane urge to just scream, like rageful screaming, or cry, like insane crying. But I worry about the impact, because it's not like I'm angry with them or crying, you know, I just need to get the emotions out, because it's what I feel, and I know because of what I've gone through, I have to get it out. But there is like this nervousness of how that will impact the other people in our lives that are around us. So what I've had to do is, my shower is a lot of that, right? It's a lot of like the ugly cry sobbing, or like, you know, the screaming into the pillow work or whatever.
Yeah,
or, you know, or sometimes you can find that space when you're out running and just, you know, but it's, we've had to, we, you kind of now, because we're in this weird, you know, where we're close, it's harder to work those emotions that are big and scary to ourselves, let alone going to scare little people or our partners. We got to get creative with it, but it's so important right now.
Alicia, this is so awesome. And I feel like we haven't even cracked the surface on what we could do. In the interest of time, I have three rapid fire questions for you to close out. So people are at home right now. You know, I read something this morning that as many as maybe a billion people around the world are either on lockdown, social isolating, shelter in placing. Not quite sure what the correct phraseology is because I hear all of them.
Yeah.
But the bigger point is they're at home and they're spending time in their four walls more than they would. If you could recommend one podcast people listen to during this time, what would that be?
So I have just started to listen to, it's called The Empath's Alchemy. It's Empath's Alchemy by Rebecca Garifo. I love it. She talks to people who are sensitive and the empaths, and I don't know. It's just, she's awesome. She's actually a friend of mine, but she speaks to empaths. It's very useful. I really like that one.
And book you'd recommend people read?
The Go-Giver.
Go-Giver. And movie or documentary you'd recommend people watch?
I just finished On the Basis of Sex, and it's by it's Ruth Bader Ginsburg's a movie about her early, how she got her start in the legal career, and it's really powerful.
Very good. Everyone, I encourage you to rewatch this, and there's something so profound about the breadth of conversation Alicia had, whether it's really getting understanding that with all the legality and every changing landscape, to go directly to the source. You know, bypass the emotional stuff that's out there and just get right to the facts of it all. And this goes for people who are watching this internationally and in your respective country, there's going to be a source of origin with the laws. Go right to that and understanding that too. And remember to communicate with respect and grace. Every human being is going through this. Every human being is going through their own challenges, and you're going to get much further in your communication and getting aid, getting resources, getting support by communicating respect. That template that Alicia just verbalized to us, that's a great template to just use for your emails and your phone calls that you have to. And if you stick through it, you'll get a lot further and remind yourself that there's another human being over there who's going through a very human experience. And when you feel stuff, you know, feel through it, give yourself permission, again, let it go, process it. It's not to say your emotions right or wrong, but always remember, come back to the humanity and all that. We're all human beings, no matter where you live, where you are. This is a very unique time in history that we're all going through together. Everyone's experience might be different, but our emotional experiences can be very quite similar. And that if we turn to those more higher vibrational emotions, love, grace, empathy, compassion, it just might give you some of the emotional release you need and allow you to really start to do what Alicia did in the very beginning, which is distilling facts from fiction and getting to the reality of something. So Alicia, thank you so much for being here. It is such a joy to have you here, and I appreciate so much you sharing your expertise with us, and this has been really helpful. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jesse.
Social distance, high five and hug to finish up. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye.